All right, we are on section 200.220E, protection of buffers, page 58. Is there a motion? Page 36 on the comment matrix, page 58. Yep, and actually it's paragraph D on, right? 58, protection of buffers.
I move we adopt the staffed proposed changes to 200.200 parent E.
I'll second that.
Discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous. So the next one down, 200.220F. You have to look on to page 37 of the comment matrix, and it looks like a portion of the last sentence was deleted. And that's to the notice of title, which is also because we took that general requirement away. Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll so move.
Is there a second?
Discussion?
All those in favor? Unanimous. 200.225B, agricultural restrictions. Okay. I'm sorry, so we're on page 58. And I guess this was removed, grazed wet meadows. Yes. Is there a motion?
I'll move that we accept the recommendations or adopt the recommendations in 200.225B, agricultural restrictions, on page 37 of our comment matrix. Looks like it's consistent with other motions that we've adopted, at least with regard to the wet meadows.
Is there a second? Okay. Discussion?
Was this done in response to some testimony we received one evening from a gentleman who's active in the agricultural community, or was this something else?
This was in response to comments we received from both the public and ecology as far as the great grazed wet meadows goes and how that's not defined anywhere, so we're just removing that there.
All those in favor? Unanimous. Okay. Going to page 39 in the comment matrix. 200.225F, trails and trail related facilities. So you just included picnic areas? Is that the only thing?
And so just, oh, I'm sorry, were you going to comment? I was just going to ask, but is this where we're addressing some of the concerns about ADA trails that, you know, let's let people with disabilities get to see some of these things too? Is that...
Yeah, correct. So in particular, point six there with the regional and public trails being reviewed under that special use review that we discussed earlier, this would be an example of use for that. The ADA compliance is sort of a, an example of how do you, you know, demonstrated need for a wider trail, such as those examples where they have a grant fund that requires ADA accessibility, those type of things. So, correct. And so using some of the materials that they provided, such as the Clallam County Code, to kind of get an idea for what their needs and desires were, that's partially how this was based.
Yes, Jim?
I'll move that the proposed language for section 200.225F be adopted.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor? Unanimous.
Just to be clear, that was the staff recommendation that we can support because it was just left open.
Excuse me?
It was the proposed revisions that staff have made subsequent to the hearing and subsequent to the
yes,
public
hearing. Yes, as reflected okay. In the matrix. Yeah. Let's see, going on, 200.225G parks. Is that right? Did I miss the deletion?
It's on page 61 in the draft. Wait, utilities or parks?
Well, G parks. Is parks. Right.
Where is it in the draft? Anybody know? That'd be some parks. Development of public parks.
Yes.
62 in our draft. 61? Oh. There's also
this is an example of where we had some typos. So trails and trail related facilities is F, and we also had utilities as F, so that would be a correction to G.
So F on page 61 will become G. And then
so then parks is H then, correct?
Correct, but we also had some additional language for your consideration under utilities as well in the matrix.
Page.
Where's that?
42, 41.
Okay. 225F utilities. And any other required state and federal approvals?
I move we adopt the staff proposed language on utilities in 200.225F.
I'll second that.
Discussion? All in favor? Unanimous. So now we go to parks, which I think is paragraph H actually. Is there a motion?
I move that we adopt the recommended language on section 200.225 parks.
Second. Okay. Discussion? All in favor? Unanimous. Going down to 19.200.250B, mitigation for regulated activities in wetland buffers.
You know, I have some question of the staff here. On the mitigation, I'm unclear as to what happens when you assign mitigation and there is a non-performance of the mitigating activity. How does that work?
What essentially happens on a project if there is a required mitigation, there would be a performance bond that would tie with that particular activity, and that would be in the site development activity permit. So should a applicant not meet that performance standard for completing that activity, that the county basically takes over that bond. The bond amount is typically 1.5 times the value of the activity itself for doing that actual work. So if the applicant fails to do the performance, the county does take it over. And that has happened a few times. Not very often, but it does happen.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe a point of clarity. Typically, when there's mitigation required as a part of a project approval, the project never received any type of final approval. So usually, if there's an occupancy required, occupancy will not be allowed by the applicant to occupy his building structure or whatever the use is. So a performance bond, typically, if he, for whatever reason, says he can't perform it for a period of time, that's when he would post the bond. But typically, he would perform the work, and he just couldn't use whatever the facility is until he completed.
I'm thinking of the case where the performance is performed poorly, and the plantings die, and stuff just doesn't happen according to plan. That's
a little bit different process. Yeah. So upon successful completion of a performance bond, there is a maintenance requirement. There's a bond maintenance requirement, and it's typically no less than 5 years. Okay. So there's a required report by their wetland consultant at year 1, 2, 3, and 5. And that at each one of those points, they're required to do weed abatement, plant replacements, and also watering of the plants until there's adequate survival. So there is a strict performance and then mitigation.
And do we have adequate monitoring of such a thing?
I think so, yeah, because each one of those projects requires that performance bond, and then the monitoring reports are required to be provided to the department. And we have a check and balance on that.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Mitigation for regulated activities and wetland buffers, 19200.250B. So it looks like you got rid of a handful of things, but that gets defined further on. Is that correct?
Yeah, again, this is part of the removal. We talked about taking out the notice to title.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I will add here is that there is the option to not have any additional signed agreement. It's part of the mitigation report. It's a requirement. So just kind of throwing out all the options on the table there. So, but we have right now recommended the notarized memorandum of agreement that we would support.
Is there a motion?
I'll move that the subject language for section 19.200.250D be adopted.
Is there a second?
I'll second. Frankly, there's no real reason to have a notary on an agreement unless you're planning to record it. I'm not sure what that adds, but it's not a big deal other than you've got to go find a notary.
Okay.
Not worth arguing.
Discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous. Let's see, going on to section 200.250D2.
What page is that on in the draft?
Where'd you go?
In a comment matrix, and then on the draft.
Wetland 250.
So again, because I was using the original code, the current code, to reference on that column, it is D2 that we're talking about here. The
off-site compensatory mitigation.
Yeah, the number 2 that's right underneath the table there of the mitigation ratios.
Right.
Correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the above ratios? Okay.
On page 66.
Yeah.
So, what is the action that took place here?
It looks like they added based on one or more of the following.
And again, this was an error in the drafting process. So. Nothing new that wasn't in the draft. We're just clarifying that those were new and they were not underlined in the draft as they should have been.
I move we accept the staff proposed changes to 200.250D2.
A second.
Discussion. All in favor? Is that in favor, Tom? Okay. And page 46 of the matrix, 250E1, offsite compensatory mitigation, page 67 in the draft. So 2D. Added. Or in lieu of fee program. So what are we doing there? Are we deleting the other portions of that beneath that?
So the E2 is now the D2. D, the offsite compensatory mitigation, and that was the staff this recommendation. We have the red line is just to correct an underline error in the draft. I don't believe this requires any action.
Okay. So let's see, I guess just going by page now, anybody have anything on 69? If not, that'll take us into Fish and Wildlife Habitat Conservation Areas, chapter 19-300.
I think there was
one more.
Did I miss one?
On the matrix, page 50, the second comment, incentives for wetland mitigation, it's on page 50 of the matrix.
Oh,
and page 69.
You're never going to have
to. Purpose?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Right here. So 50. Yeah. On page 50 of the matrix.
This is one where you don't need to take action.
We don't?
Well, we do.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Okay. Wildlife habitat conservation areas.
have a then 305 is purpose. That could we add a section?
I'm sorry, what page are you on?
I think it's just underlining again, isn't it?
You're on what page?
51 of the matrix.
Right.
The top comment.
Avoid or minimize, yes. What page is that on here?
On our draft, it's on page 70.
Okay.
At line 21 and 22.
Okay. All right. So on page 71, actually 330.310 fish and wildlife habitat conservation area categories B1. So I know we talked about this, I think, during the work study. The field verification of all intermittent or non-fish-bearing streams should occur during the wet season months of October to March, if feasible, as determined by the department.
And when we use the word department, are we talking about which department?
I think it's probably DCD, I would assume.
That's kind of what I would assume, too, but I, you know. We've mentioned several other departments in the code up to this point and in the previous page.
So. I'm just curious. It seems like the default is a wet weather review. And I guess I'm just the idea of obviously it just makes it difficult. Potentially, you know, delays things for potentially up to a year. I guess I was curious how we might be able to modify this, and maybe that's an option if a consensus can't be reached or something like that.
When is there not a wet season month in Washington?
Sometime between January 1st and December 31st, we should have an alternative.
If feasible.
I don't think, and Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think this really prevents us from doing an assessment on fish, non-fish, et cetera. I think that there are some signs that are looked for in the field.
Right.
Yes, and one of the things that an applicant has as a resource, and we point to that resource all the time, and it's essentially free, and that's to have our partner, the State Fish and Wildlife, go out and take a look and do an assessment of a stream course, and they're trained professionals dealing with figuring out what type of stream, and even in the off season, if you will, or a non-wet weather review, they can make that determination. Also, wildlife biologists also have that qualification to be able to do that as well. But if it's related to changing a stream typing, that's a different matter. When we're figuring out stream typing itself, that's a process through the State Department of Natural Resources. They're the keeper of all things stream, if you will, so for those maps. But our State Fish and Wildlife folks are very willing and able to go out and do those investigations.
Okay. I guess it does say should, so there's some discussion.
It says should. Okay. Yeah, right.
All right. Okay. Let's see, moving on. I think there's one other item here, 300.310B3. If available when identified and vetted through a public process. And that is
On the matrix they have posted up here, there's actually some slightly revised language for your consideration as well.
There's the language you're looking
for. Is there a motion?
I'll move to adopt the verbiage as proposed by staff.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Who makes that designation? How does that all happen? Who makes? I wouldn't know where the language went.
And it's
the Board of County Commissioners can make that determination through some kind of a public process. I think they could pass a resolution, or they could actually codify it if they wanted to. But we don't currently have any species that have been designated as locally important.
So it's not.
No, it's just, it's a place, it's part of the RCW that allows local jurisdictions to designate species if they so choose that aren't on the state or federal lists of candidate or threatened, endangered, and sensitive species.
We had a motion and a second. Okay, all those in favor? Unanimous. Table 19300.315. And it looks like
the language here is interesting in terms of, I'm not sure what it means. A habitat management plan will not be required, but certain conditions may be applied to the permit regarding construction. What are the standards?
So that's why we have, there's some additional proposed language up on the screen.
Is there a motion?
I'll move to accept the language.
A second.
Proposed. 300.315.
Discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous. Okay, moving on. Section 300.315A4, provision for decreasing buffer. So, I guess the background on this?
Ultimately, this is a status quo. The language has just been shifted around. We removed a section that was regarding shorelines and kind of condensed everything down. But ultimately, you're still having a type 2 for single-family residents being if it's between 25 and 50%. Greater than 50% would be a variance. And also based on the comments, we would propose to clarify that all other uses that are requesting a buffer reduction greater than 25% would require the variance. And that's as in how it is now in the code.
Is there a motion?
accept the proposed amended language in 300.315 sub A sub 4, identified on our matrix on pages 54 and pages 55.
And I lost this one already, but I'll continue with my consistent vote.
Was that a second?
No.
Okay.
But I'm sure it will be.
Discussion? No? Okay.
Who seconded? I didn't hear it. Okay. Thank you.
All those in favor? Opposed? Okay, continuing on 300.315A8, protection of buffers. So that was 7. So that's more of the notice of title?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And is that the same thing with the next one as well?
What?
So shall we group that one and the next one regarding...
I just had one typo. Kathleen, I don't know if you want to make the department capital D. I think it's a defined
term. I don't know that it is in other parts of the code. I think we use lowercase d for the Department of Community Development.
I'd seen it just in the last time we looked at it. Whichever, as long as it's consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be A, Department of Community Development. Just kidding. Sorry, Tom. It's 6:01. Are we okay? They're going to shut down at 6:30. So we say we push through to about 6:15.
It looks like it's going to be mostly the networked systems within the building. Power doesn't go off, but
okay.
But our computers will go down and Wi-Fi enabling. So
at what time?
At 6:30.
It's 15 minutes.
They have to do a network reboot on everything. And
right. Well, why don't we stop, like I said, at 6:15? That way you can shut down your computers and do what you need to do, okay?
So did we do that by group?
No, I don't think we did those by group. So is there a motion to take those...
I move to accept the recommendations as proposed for 300.315A8 and A9 together on page 56 of our comment matrix.
And I'll second that.
Discussion? All in favor? Unanimous. Let's see, moving on, 300.315B, Class 1 Wildlife Habitat Conservation Areas Development Standards. So, I guess maybe clarification, compliance with?
This is the same language that you just approved previously when we were looking at the table and we were defining class 1 in the table. So we're just providing the same consistent language in the text as well.
So I know this is one of the items we brought up during a work study, and that same paragraph C talks about may require the submittal of a habitat management plan as determined through the SEPA critical areas review on the project. It just seems odd. Usually the HPA or the Am I looking at a wrong one?
You're on C, we're on B.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Is there a motion?
I'll move that the proposed language for section 300.315B be approved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Unanimous once again. So on page 77, paragraph C. This is just that item. It seems the indicating if this is asked for during CEPA, but typically these are all items that are required to be submitted and circulated through the CEPA process. So it just seems, I don't know if we want to reword that. Because, I mean, really, if this surfaced during CEPA and someone asked for this document, wouldn't you really have to kind of submit it, and they probably wouldn't make a CEPA determination until they did actually submit it for review?
So just a point of clarification, that is actually in code now. We just moved it from the last line up so that it made more sense sequentially. So this is how we operate now, but if you're wanting to discuss changing that, that's...
Well, I know that people say it all the time, doesn't mean code now is good. But anyway, but I just it just seems odd. Not that it's ever been an issue, but just... And I guess if CEPA never requires it because you already did it, then it really doesn't matter. Well, it seems to me maybe we should remove CEPA. You know, the critical areas review. Because usually, like I said, it's all part of the CEPA review, right? And when you circulate it. During the CEPA.
I'd say there's quite a few projects that don't require CEPA. They're exempt, single family, for instance. So, mm-hmm. But they do require critical area review. So I think we're just, I mean, yeah, and that might trigger the plan. So,
okay.
Right. Okay.
All right. Moving on to 300.315H. Agricultural restrictions. There it is. Bottom of page 79. Yes.
I move we adopt the staff proposed changes to section 300.315H.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Mm-hmm. 300.315I, trails and trail related facilities.
Did this language appear someplace else?
Yes.
It seems to be deja vu.
Wetlands,
okay.
Yes. With the ADA. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion?
I'll move to accept the recommended changes for section 300.315, subsection I on page 60 of the comment matrix.
So second? Discussion? All in favor? Unanimous. Page 61 of the matrix, utilities 300.315J. Okay.
So is, do we need any action on this one? Is it changing anything? No? We can just move on?
Okay. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Good place to stop.
Well, do you want to do significant trees?
Yeah, I guess let's go back and look at significant trees. So, your findings?
We can't find it any place else in code or the stormwater design manual at this point. A Google search indicated that the city of Bellevue finds it as 8 inches, 4 feet above the grade for any conifer deciduous tree. So, there potentially could be some discretion that the planning commission can take in their recommendation.
48 inches? That- No, eight, you said 8 inches at 4 feet off, right?
Oh, I thought you were saying 48 inches of width.
I was.
Oh, yeah. So I think that we had a motion on at 18 inches, right?
Yeah, I recall in the stormwater review part of the code from this past fall that there was research that was done for the stormwater review about significant trees and identifying that. And I think that we pulled this in from that review. I think it may be in the stormwater design manual, deep within the code about identifying significant trees and what that was. And Mr. Shattuck is absolutely right about where this was heading, and it was in relation to wetland trees. And we tried to figure out, what is a typical, fairly significant wetland tree, you know, that we would see in a typical review of a wetland plan, and a significant willow tree that's 6 inches in diameter could be 40, 50, 60 feet tall. And I might have seen that all the time. So, you know, we have that identified just as a minimum to be able to look and see. We thought, okay, well, if there were willows that were smaller than that, for instance, obviously alder trees, as Mr. Baglew had mentioned too, about alder trees, you know, are a lot faster growing typically than a willow. So we had to kind of base it on something for that part of the stormwater code. And I think that's where we landed on this, you know, magic number of 6 inch diameter. Yeah.
And just to be clear, what the record captured as the motion was 18 inches and not an alder. So I'm not sure that second portion is still what you're voting.
It was not species specific.
Okay.
Just insert.
And this is obviously wetland, so the two can. It's clear enough that this is regarding wetland vegetation as opposed to a significant tree for landscaping or clearing purposes.
It doesn't say that specifically.
Well, it's in the wetland section. So, whatever. I guess I'll amend it to go 8 inches.
I'll second the amendment. What was it, 8 inches?
I'm sorry,
inches high,
eight inches at 48 inches high from six.
That's 8 inches.
Yeah.
So I've seconded the motion to amend the definition of significant tree in wetland area.
Discussion?
From 6 inches to 8 inches?
To 8 inches and 48 inches.
Okay. All those in favor?
Hey.
All right. Okay. We'll see you on the 23rd. And that's at 8 o'clock in the morning?
If okay. You want to affirm that or change that, you have that.
Is 9 o'clock okay?
Prerogative.
And maybe let the other members know.
Yes. And we're okay with the changes? We're up to speed with what we've done?
I got it. One way or another.
We're good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.